All right. Welcome to another episode of Q&A with AM Strength, episode three. Yeah, it's your third one. You're like a veteran now.
This is what, my fourth episode with you, or is it my fifth episode with you?
Like 10th, if you count like the live ones we've done. And
oh, that's true. We did the Facebook
Live. Two Q&As, two or three episodes. So it's a few. You're kind of popular now.
For all the wrong reasons.
Although it's a race between you and Travis as a top.
I'm going to win.
I don't know. I think Travis.
I'm prettier than Travis.
Yes, you are prettier than Travis.
I do love Travis, though.
He'd be first to say that. So Travis is kind of cheating. He gets like these all-star guests with him.
Travis on his own.
Yeah, no.
Has a lot of interesting stories to tell. He's a very solid man.
Well, in the next week, it's going to be Travis.
Oh, yeah. You've got
Travis.
You've got the jujitsu trifecta.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be like, what, combined like 70 years
with our
jiu-jitsu.
Powers combined, we are
all
Captain Jujitsu.
Yeah. So Matt Thorne will be here, Travis Davison, and John Frankel.
When do you get them?
Next week.
Because Frankel leaves the day after.
I know. We're doing it. We're either going to do it Friday or Sunday.
Okay.
So either Sunday after the second day of the seminar or Friday. Yeah. Matt's driving in Thursday with his family.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I just talked to him today. So that's going to be cool. I'm going to have like over half century of jiu-jitsu experience here.
And you with and all 7 months.
Hey.
Maybe by that, osmosis, that's all I got. Hey. You'll just get better. I mean, not that you're bad. I'm just saying.
I'm awesome. I just sit on people and choke
you're
them.
You're so awesome. You're the awesomest white belt that's ever lived. Two straight white belt that's ever lived.
Savage.
Savagest white belt. White belts are all savages until they learn better. They're like, oh, I don't have to try to kill people.
Hey, I have the distinct honor of being the token big guy.
Yeah.
That's like, well, this works, except for him. It won't work on him, but it'll work.
Oh, yeah.
And when you go up against a guy like his size.
You and Andy are kind of like the, well, it'll work with this, everyone but these two people.
If it doesn't work with this guy, you have to do it this way to get to work with this guy. You probably wouldn't go for this.
Yeah, the
this
other
person.
Big guys have disappeared.
Are you calling people out like two-stripe white belt?
Yeah.
You are.
I'll roll with them.
They'll crush
me.
Out.
It's fine. I have no problem getting folded up like a like an unwilling blanket. It's part of the process.
Sometimes.
It's part of the process.
Are we talking about jiu-jitsu still?
Yes.
What was the last episode? No. Stop it. Go away. Don't touch that.
Get that out of my face.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, just go back to episode 2. Don't touch my bar. Or
just in general, back up. You're going to lose it.
All right, let's get to it.
Okay. You have questions for me. I didn't post anything with questions. I don't have any questions left.
I got a fun one and a kind of a serious one.
Okay.
But I thought it'd be kind of cool to combine this one. And it's less of a question sometimes and more of a statement people make. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would kind of throw it all together and put it out as a, like,
so
how do you feel about
this? Do it in
this?
Pieces. Hmm? Take it one step at a time.
Well, no, it's very, like, straightforward.
Okay.
Okay, so often we talk about social media being a, you know, that hashtag living my best life. You know?
Yeah.
Type thing, you know, where
it's a highlight reel.
It is. It tends to be a highlight reel. You actually do a pretty good job of posting not only your successes, but like
my failures.
You know, like what I mean.
Deadlifting. Yeah. Hey.
No, that's fine.
Got to keep it real.
No, you do. Or like when you don't hit what you're going for, like on your numbers.
Yeah.
You know, in your lifts. Excuse me. In your lifts. So it's interesting with social media how. When you post stuff, or if we post things about like our family or about me and you doing something together, lifting, you know, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the comments are like relationship goals or how do you guys do it? Or like you guys are the greatest. Or and then, you know, we'll get comments or you'll get comments about all the kind of like an accolade, right? And I'm not putting this out there as a like to brag. It's more about, it's the opposite. It's, you get these comments or questions and it comes off as like everything is coming like easy or like we made it, right? Like our relationship is just like nailed down. We're perfect. We're, you know, everything's in sync and harmony all the time.
Negative ghostwriter. The pattern is full.
So
not accurate at all.
Right. So So when it comes to things like that, what's for you, what would be the best response to that?
To what? People saying that I've got it like nailed down?
Yeah. Like whether it's somebody saying like, you know, it, I guess the best way to put the question or the statement would be people see. Okay. So like tick things off, right?
Right.
Okay. You're a homeschooling mother of five.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not going to just list your, I'm just saying in general, right? Mm-hmm. So like just list things off here. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm saying this because I brought this up the other day at work when somebody was asking about our podcast, the one that me
what was
that together.
One? What was the nickname that one girl gave me? I can never remember.
Like, shit, something. I cannot remember at all. It's something
it ends
about
McJitsu.
Yeah, booty McJitsu or like squat.
Anyway,
I don't know, something like thick thighs McJitsu. No, something. It involved a wonderful compliment of your leg slash butt and jiu-jitsu.
And then jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
That's funny. Anyway, so you're saying, okay, so I don't want you to list all the things because it just it bothers me every time you do it. So the things that I supposedly accomplish in a day.
Yeah, like so what your life entails, right?
Right.
Okay, homeschooling and jiu-jitsu and strength training and getting back into competing, running your own business. Being a mom, a wife, like all those things, right? There's
right.
podcasts that people do that are dedicated to those things, like specifically, like to one thing, like a motherhood podcast or like a relationship podcast, that kind of thing too, right? You have like five or six you do, right?
So, which means I don't do any of them very well. That's so, what that means.
But the other aspect of it is, that's not true. the other part of it too is the relationship part as well. Right. And I think I'm gearing up more towards the relationship part because that's where I see a lot of
these
comments.
Are you asking me?
How do you respond to people that basically think that our relationship and marriage in general is kind of like nailed down to a point where
you have no idea.
Yeah. To from a standpoint of like, you know, when people put like, and I know they mean it with like with a grain of salt as far as like when they say things like you guys are relationship goals and
maybe we are. Maybe we are relationship goals for them. Maybe that's something that they see and they want. Because we're still together after 18 years and married for 14. Like,
I'm not that old. I couldn't
cricket.
Say it straight face.
You know, I was thinking about this actually today, thinking about how we had somebody come visit us last year and we were talking about how hard marriage was. And he said, none of my other married friends talk about how hard marriage is. Why do you talk about how hard it is? You know, no,
half of them are divorced.
No one ever talks about it like that, but you guys. And here's the thing is, partly those people have not been married as long as we have. They don't have as many kids as we do. They didn't, you know, we're all coming from our own like homes and families of origin. So that comes with baggage, that comes with experiences, that comes with filters, that comes with lenses that we see things through. So some people have it better and have it locked down and we're in a better place to start. But it is hard. Like anything worth having, it is a struggle to maintain it. Any relationship, like with your siblings, with your best friend, with your teammates, you don't just go like, oh, we're good and don't put any effort into it. Because if whatever you don't cultivate, water, you know, like work on will die.
Right.
So melding your life with another human being is always going to be full of pitfalls and struggles. And then when you add tiny little humans into that, that equation and their emotions and their feelings and
their
idiosyncrasies. And of course we had, besides the twins, it was like one at a time. So you're integrating that into your family life and into your, kind of daily cup, so to speak. So we might very well be goals for some people because we're still together.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time together. We work really hard on our relationship. We do jiu-jitsu, we do dates, we have mutual friends that we spend time with.
But we've been together 18 years.
In August.
And but that thing you said about working on our relationship, that's something we haven't really done until the last...
Yeah.
What would you say?
like few months.
Within the last year.
Since moving here, I would say.
Like just before that, we started, you know, really working on stuff. I mean,
I would disagree.
Huh?
I would disagree.
You disagree?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not saying we had it down on everything that needed to be worked on, but we were working on stuff.
Yeah, we've been working on stuff for like 4 years, right. I would say.
That's what I mean.
But
there were layers to get
yeah,
to.
Yeah, there are layers. Now we're at a deeper level. We're farther into the croissant than we were before.
Peel back the onion.
Ugh, onions are gross. Croissants taste way better.
That's a good point. Buttered croissant.
Yeah.
All right.
You the heard chocolate it. In the middle.
You want your marriage to be a buttered croissant.
Yeah.
That's a t-shirt.
Layers. Or baklava.
Baklava.
Get down to the nuts. Didn't mean it to sound like.
See, I didn't say that. You did.
Pierre's going to be like, you guys.
Pierre, we went 11 minutes and 22 seconds before dirty joke. So shut it. Pierre's my brother.
Yeah.
I think actually that's a really important, like what you said there, as far as working on the relationship. I've talked to a few people, a couple of people specifically about how, and they're farther along. They're mm-hmm. like in their late 40s and they've mm-hmm. been together over 20 years.
Yeah.
And they have kids that are grown and almost every one of the kids is out of the house. And they've talked openly about how, oh, hey,
you're hey, that you. Person. Hey, person that I've been hey. Raising a family with
right,
for the
you're
last
my roommate.
25 years.
Yeah. And how.
My roommate I occasionally touch butts with.
Exactly. Touching butts is what we call sex with our
in
kids.
In front of our kids.
Yeah. Not having sex in front of the kids. That's weird. But talking about sex with your kids is fun. It's not weird.
It's really fun because it totally wigs them out. It's one of the joys of parenting.
It is.
Is it, and I didn't realize this as a kid because my mom would work really hard on embarrassing us. She'd play like Wild West on blast on the radio, like the yes, Will Smith it. Song, drive up to the school to pick us up from school, or Nelly, I'm Number One. And she had like a Chevy Astro, like and she'd drive up bumping it and everyone like looks. I'm like, yeah, it's my mom. And she would dance and we were always like, oh my gosh, mom. But that is one of the joys of parenthood is getting to embarrass the shit out of your kids.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome.
Because someday they're going to look back and be like, my parents had a lot of fun and I want to do that too.
Right.
Or they're going to be like, they're terrible and they're going to be stuck up snotty brats and they won't ever kiss in front of their kids and their kids are going to be scarred for life.
Yeah. No, it's fun.
They won't do that.
I enjoy it.
It's super fun. It's the best.
So, getting back to what we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Working on your relationship. So, there's a lot of people that, like I said, they get to the point where the kids start getting out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in their mid, late 40s, sometimes early 50s. And they have to kind of rediscover
this, each other.
Yeah, each other.
Their relationship.
Deal with all the shit they haven't dealt with and just kind of fester / shove down or just avoid because your life is busy enough where you can't avoid it if you just deal with the everyday things. It's really easy to not connect if you, and I say that.
Especially in this day and age when there's so many devices and so many ways to stay out of the moment, to not be present.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to avoid your emotions, to avoid your feelings, to avoid problems and just keep on keeping on
and avoid each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
no matter how, that is tempting sometimes. Just be like, I just want to be alone. Go away.
Sure.
What you need.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But you need alone time right. for sure.
But you do need to actively choose to work on your relationship.
Yes.
And it needs to be something that's, you know, at the forefront of your mind. And I don't know about like the level of intensity on a daily basis, but it does need to be something you're checking in with on a daily basis on some
even
level.
Even if it's just within yourself.
Right. Yeah. Like on some level, it has to be something that's there because you can get busy with like if I list a typical day for you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Don't.
Okay. I'll do it for myself.
It's just a long day.
I know, but that's my point.
Right.
Right. That's specifically is my point is what I'm saying. Okay. So my day. Mm-hmm. Right. Since you're not comfortable talking about your day anymore, we've talked about it a few times. Yeah. Okay. On average, I get up between 2:30 and 3:30 in the morning.
Right.
Depends on the day for my morning gig. Okay. So get up at 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. And then I usually go to work and I get home around 10:30 in the morning. Right. Mm-hmm. Get home. And first thing I do is I jump in the shower and then get ready to go to SBG with you.
Some of the days.
Week, most of the week, yeah, not every single day, but like 3 to 4 days a week we do that. And then me and you leave. We go to jiu-jitsu together and then come back here, get a workout in, sometimes take a nap if I need to, take the kids to their jiu-jitsu class, come back home, dinner, put them to bed, and then squeeze an hour together, maybe, before we go to bed, and then start over again. And that's the week, right? That's simplifying it. So the difference is now we're doing jiu-jitsu together. Mm-hmm. So there's we've built in time. Now, this is recent. This is since we moved just 7 months ago. Before that, it wasn't like that at all. Mm-mm. But this is something like we've never in our relationship had like midday dates, basically.
This much time together.
Yeah. And then being able to spend like...
Since we were dating.
Right. I mean, last year
we did. Even dating, we didn't spend this much time together in a day sometimes.
Yeah. Last year we did, but that was more forced because of COVID and we were both working from home. But even
we weren't spending time together.
We passed each other in the kitchen
working.
Going...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we worked 24/7 essentially.
Right. Yeah. I'd be in the garage building equipment and then I'd be running up to Seattle, running food to clients and doing consulting work and security and then come back down and then you'd come in and you're training clients and then
checking clients.
Right. Yeah. So, and then we had kids. Mm-hmm. So, but even the jiu-jitsu part where we get to do that together, if we didn't choose to pull some time away from that, like go have a coffee date after a couple times a week and get that kind of
shout out to Culture's Coffee. It's the best coffee.
Yeah. Here in downtown Kalispell. Mm-hmm. I love that place. But yeah, that's made a huge difference. And if we didn't do the classes together and if we decided to go at a different schedule, which the first couple weeks we actually were doing that.
Yeah. I was in the afternoon. You were in the evenings.
Yeah. And real quick, I was like, I don't like this at all. I'm away from home at night. By this time I've been awake for like 17 hours and I'm exhausted and I don't want to go to jiu-jitsu at night. So then I switched to the afternoon class with you. Mm-hmm. And not only was that better from a standpoint of, my schedule and fatigue and recovery factor, but also me and you actually doing something together besides lifting weights.
Right.
Or being with the kid, which was really cool. So. Yeah. And that's been.
So the question was, what do I say to people that say relationship goals? I say, it's fine if we're relationship goals because we've worked really hard to be where we are.
Yeah.
And if you think that anybody is in any relationship and doesn't have to work for that and struggle for that and fight for that, you're in for a rude awakening when you get into a committed relationship. It's work. You can have all the early butterflies and attraction and like you hear their voice and you get all like giddy or whatever, that goes away not because you don't love them or they're not wonderful, but because that's the biological response to somebody that you're like, that your body being like, you could make babies with this person, you should procreate.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, this is the best, but it goes away because that's what happens and that's normal. I'm not saying, you know, and there's some people that are like, I still get butterflies. That's awesome for you, but that's not the norm. And I think the more we normalize the fact that relationships are work, that butterfly feeling doesn't endure for decades, that you need to be friends with your person. I think the more we normalize what relationships actually can be and are, I think people will have more success. Because if we act like it's a Hollywood movie where you're like, no, I don't like him. No, he's the worst. He's so handsome, but he's the worst. And like, it's like Hollywood movies, like romances are basically like porn. They're like pretend. They're not real. And I'm sorry if I insult people, but
I don't think that's insulting.
It's not real. It's not realistic. It's not real. It's not genuine. So if we have the idea that relationships and our lives are going to play out like a screenplay, you are in for a very rude awakening.
Yeah.
And the more we normalize what a real relationship looks, sounds, and feels like, people will be more successful, I think.
That's a good point.
What's the rest of the question? Or was that it?
That was basically it. Just the idea of on social media, it looks like you have like the perfect relationship. Or...
We don't. It's hard. It's hard work. And we've been through a lot in our time together.
Yeah.
And we've chosen each other and to work through it. And it's a choice every day to be with you. Like, you get up, you can choose to walk out or you can choose to stay.
Right.
And there are, of course, there are mitigating factors. There are going to be things that, like, you just can't stick around for. That's not us so far. So far, everything that has come our way, we've decided to work through.
Right. And that's not to say you can't, like, just because it's work doesn't mean you can't have fun.
No, we totally have fun.
We do. We have fun.
But, like, you can't have peaks without valleys.
Right.
You can't have light without darkness.
Right.
And that's life.
Yeah.
And so you can't just, like, it's like my kids are like, I wish I could have cake every day. Well, then it wouldn't be good.
Your stomach would,
like,
hurt.
If your birthday was every day, it wouldn't be special.
You'd be fat.
Or just sick. Like, either way, but if your birthday was every day, it wouldn't be special. And that's kind of, you have to realize that life can't always be birthday parties. Those things are bright lights and bright spots and bright memories because they stand out of the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think a big
part of
that.
Can't see the stars or the sun's out.
Yeah. No, you have to. I think the other part of the work part too is working on having fun. Right.
Yeah. And having a sense of humor.
Not forced, but.
Like, about your partner.
Yes.
Like, doing funny things together or like laughing or just being dorks.
Yeah. And just choosing to like carve time out in the day for each other and do things like that. You know, whether it's like one of the things I love doing with you, besides the obvious one, is
which is reading books and hanging out.
Totally.
Yeah.
So we call it now, reading books.
Shut up.
Naked jiu-jitsu.
What's the rest of you were gonna say, you fucking creep?
Okay. You can't call your husband a creep for wanting to sleep with
you. I can for sure call you a creep.
For wanting to have sex with his wife.
Oh my God, stop talking. We're going to get so much shit from Pierre.
Who cares?
Just move on.
My point was, you're the one who derailed this question.
No.
One of my favorite things I like to do with you is actually just go in our room, shut the door, and take a nap together in the afternoon.
Naps are so great. Naps are wasted on children.
Yes, they are.
It's a little like half hour
chill, just cuddle up on the bed and just pass out for like 20-30 minutes. It's just quiet.
But that's like, those are the best naps because you wake up super refreshed.
They are. They're awesome.
And they're not like hours long. It's just power nap.
But then the kids know, like, you're in there.
I love my kids, but oh my gosh, they're all in a stage right now where I'm like, ooh. Can we go backwards? Can we skip this part and move on to the next one?
I was telling you before we started recording, the twins were screaming bloody murder downstairs. They weren't even touching each other.
The three youngest girls are in this thing, the twins in particular, but Phoebe has started to pick it up.
How loud can they scream?
No, where they're like bugs. Bugs of any kind that fly, that creep, that crawl. They're sure that bug is going to attack them and eat their face.
Yeah.
Like a fly.
And they,
it's a flying bug.
And they
lived
in Felton in the Redwoods, and they lived on a lake. And
where there was bugs everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, this isn't new. Now we live in Montana. So.
And there's different bugs.
Yeah.
But like, they're not any bigger or weirder than anywhere else, but they're just like freaking out. And so that's like their new thing. And so I have very little patience for their screams at this point. I'm like, if you're not bleeding or dying, zip it.
So one of the 8-year-olds is telling her sister, the twins, they're in their room. And she's like, I saw a bug and it's in the towel and it made me want to throw up. And I was like, bleh, bleh. And then her sister was getting mad at her for making the throw up sound. So she's screaming at her, stop making that sound.
And the other one's going bleh, bleh, bleh.
And it just went back and forth and it got louder and louder.
And you just want to lock the door, like close it and lock it and be like, figure it out.
And I was like,
but you should, because I have to figure it out.
And I start jamming downstairs. And like, as I'm going downstairs, I'm like, don't punch him in the face. Don't punch him in the face. No, obviously it's not what I was going to do.
Most parents won't tell you this, but we will.
Yeah.
It's normal to be like, oh my gosh, can I send them back? And that's from the deepest possible love I can. There is not a human creature on this planet that I love as much as my children were.
Right.
But sometimes, man, I'm like, look, you're lucky you're cute. You're lucky you're my flesh and blood.
Yes. So.
Because you're fired.
So that was our question. Okay. Relationship goals.
Do we have another question?
Yes.
Okay.
Hard right in the conversation.
Good. Perfect. Switch it up.
What does the 4th of July mean to you?
4th of July.
Yeah, I mean, we are recording this on 4th of July Eve. It's July
3rd. There's fireworks, there fireworks going off. Yeah. I can see them behind behind you through the curtain.
Yeah, like, over the hill back there. Yeah.
Yeah. 4th of July.
We're in the studio. What are you talking about? Look at this place.
Yeah, the studio is nice.
Hashtag garage.
Yeah, hashtag that's the gym right there.
Hey, this is awesome. So
no, it's great. I just, it's just part of the house. Yeah. 4th of July. Dude, I am very patriotic. I am very much in favor of fighting tyranny and gaining independence from government overreach. So I am a huge supporter of the original intent of this holiday. And I celebrate it big. It means a lot of things in this day and age. It stands for what we need to get back to. Less government, more personal responsibility, more individual freedom, more time with the people that you love and care about, that share your values, and, you know, celebrating what's good and wonderful, and avoid, and like not like deciding to dwell on the negatives, because there are negatives. Like every other country on the planet, there's mm-hmm. negatives in our history. And I'm not saying they don't exist, because they do. And I'm not saying ignore them, because you can't. You shouldn't. But dwelling on them and acting like looking back at history and shaming people that no longer live and exist is going to atone for the past. It's ridiculous. And the idea that this generation or the generation before us should atone for historical misdeeds, and they're not that, some of them aren't even that far off in history, but unless you are individually responsible for something, I do not think that you should be taking responsibility for that thing.
Right.
You should not be held accountable for, you know, I don't know how many generations back, the choices that they've made, the sins of the father. I don't believe that shit.
Yeah.
Sorry. So well, Independence Day is a day of freedom and reflection, and a reminder to work locally towards your goals. Don't think I can't do it, it's too far away, it's too hard. Do something at home. If you don't like something, change it.
Yeah. Well, I think for you too, especially, like, you have family that actually fought in the Civil War.
Yeah.
So
my mom's side of the family, my mom has pictures of our family members that fought in the Union.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
It's pretty freaking cool. Cause she did like this photo timeline when I was in high school. She was a high school. The fun fact, I was homeschooled for the majority of school, but there was this little private school that I got to go to cause my mom taught at. She was our US history teacher, and she did a photo timeline. And like the last picture was me on my dad's shoulders. It's one of my favorite pictures of me and my dad. I was like 4 with blonde pigtails and my favorite sandals on, covering his eyes. But that was the photo. It was like a photo of each generation, and I was at the end of it. And the first one that she could find was our ancestor that had fought and for the Union side in the Civil War.
That's super interesting. Do you think she still has that
somewhere? I mean, I don't know where that picture is, because when my dad died, I was like, so, I want that picture.
Yeah,
I will get that picture tattooed on my body. I love it.
That's
love
a pretty awesome idea. The concept of the picture itself. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that drawing of like the caveman to like today, you know, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Just very cool.
I don't know how many generations back that is, but on my dad's side, it was like 2 generations immigrants. Mm-hmm. And on my stepdad's side, it was, I want to say 3 or 4 generations,
right?
Immigrants. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
very cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's for me, I'm first generation born here. Yeah. Both my parents immigrated from the Middle East. So,
yep.
Yeah. So
they knew what they were doing.
Yes, they did. And so I have a special affinity for this country and the principles it was founded on, and the idea of individual responsibility and individual freedom being, you know, hell, the name of this podcast, Cornerstone of America. Mm-hmm. The idea that you can forge your own path, and regardless of your circumstance and surroundings and what's going on, we have that innate ability here because of the way this country is
founded and structured. Built.
Regardless of all the crap that's happening, and that does happen, continue to happen, you have people fighting to make sure that stays on that path of individual freedom. So you have things like states' rights, where one state wants to do something and one state doesn't, they can do that. You know, as long as it doesn't violate the Constitution, the actual Constitution of the United States.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really cool.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. So I moved here.
Cool. All right. Wildcard question. Up sure. To you. So for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something you want to talk about.
Okay. So I've come across a couple things, strength coaching related. Oh, yeah.
We've been wanting to, we keep forgetting to talk about this over the last like two, 3 times.
I've been here.
Yes.
So there's two things in particular that I've come across. One being
BOSU ball single leg squats with a dumbbell over your ear and grabbing your toe at the same time. Sorry.
Did your IQ just drop like 30 points because you said that out loud?
It hurt my brain a little bit.
Yeah, probably a little bit. Did you have a seizure? Is it an aneurysm?
Hey, it's
a
functional training.
So when in your life are you ever going to squat with one leg on a BOSU ball with something overhead?
I don't know. Tell me that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
You're going to squat on a marshmallow? What?
Squat okay.
What was that? Because that's what a BOSU ball is. It's a blue marshmallow. All right.
Lunges on a BOSU ball. Hey, to be honest, I actually had my clients doing that way back in the day.
Yeah, when you didn't know better.
Exactly. I didn't know better.
Okay. So
I was like, that's hard.
One
it makes you
being
work.
That if you have an imbalance, like a muscular imbalance, like say you bench press or you deadlift or you squat and one side is lagging or slower than the other or is behind the other, the idea that you either need to load the weaker side more to make it stronger or stagger your grip or stance to make the weaker side stronger. Now, let's look at this from a physiology standpoint. If you have a weaker, which first of all, most human beings on the planet are asymmetrical. There are very few people that are 100% symmetrical. And that's one of the reasons why it takes bodybuilders decades of dedicated time to create that symmetry in their bodies,
right.
Is because
takes years.
We are naturally asymmetrical because we are usually one side dominant or the other. So if you look at your hands and you're right-handed, you try to wear a ring that you can wear on your left hand on your right hand, it's tighter because you use your right hand more, therefore it is bigger and stronger. Usually it's the case.
Yeah.
If you are a runner, this is something I come across quite often as a lifting coach with like cross-country kids that come in. They have a more developed side, their lead leg, that glute is much more developed. That quad is much more developed. It's a stronger side of the body because it's their like lead striking leg when they're running. So it's very common to be asymmetrical. The idea that you must load. So first let's talk about loading. Let's talk about loading the one weaker side with more weight to make it stronger. I don't know why that sounds like a good idea, but it's a terrible idea because most of the time you use your body bilaterally. You use your body two arms at a time or both your legs at a time. It's rare that you're going to pistol squat holding onto something else. Like if you're trying to save your child from getting crushed by a car, you're going to use your whole body. You're not going to use the one leg, right? It's very rare that we use a unilateral movement.
Right. Unless you're doing something that's sport specific that right. requires that.
Which
pretty rare.
You should still strengthen your exactly. whole system as a bilateral system because you're already going to be using that one side of your body more anyway.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a better chance of actually creating symmetry in your body if you train bilaterally. Now, if you're an advanced lifter and you find that there is a significant lag in, say, one side of your body or you have a significant leg length discrepancy, because most people have a little bit of a leg length discrepancy, but like one where you need a shim, which means you put something under your foot to make your legs the same length. Say you have a half inch to an inch difference. That's what you do is you shim it so that you can train your body to use both legs equally,
mm-hmm.
right? But you don't load that one side more so it catches up with the other. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
Usually what that's going to do is make that side lag even more. It's a silly idea. The other one being that you stagger your grip. Now, there are multiple grips on the bench press in particular, or you stagger your squat stance. There's multiple stances you can use. On the bench press, common ones are close grip, which means your hands are right next to your body at the bottom of the movement. The bar is touching your chest and your right. your thumbs are like touching your rib cage. There's wide grip. There's extremely wide grip. So wide grip is anything wider than your normal grip, which in my case, I have my people do a grip that when the bar is touching their chest, their forearms are perpendicular to the floor, not angled in, not angled out, but perpendicular to the floor, right? And then the wide grip is wider than that. And you can have an extremely wide grip where you have an obtuse angle between your elbow and your like shoulder. Like there's a very mm-hmm. wide angle there.
Yeah.
But the idea that you have the strong arm in your normal grip and the weak arm in the wide grip. Now, unless you train wide grip bench press, it is a weaker position because it has you've created an extra, in physics it's called a moment arm. And that has to do with point of rotation and force production on the end of that segment. It's let's get into the weeds there, but that's what a moment arm is, right? So when you do a wide grip, you create a moment arm between the humerus, which is the long bone in your arm from your shoulder to your elbow, mm-hmm. and your the radius and the ulna, which are the bones in the lower part of your arm. You're creating an extra moment arm there that, unless you train it regularly, is going to... What are you looking at?
No, keep going.
I was like, is there a giant bug?
No.
Speaking of bugs. No. But you're going to create extra work for that arm to do. And it's not going to make that your arm stronger in the normal grip. Also, it's probably going to, the wider grip puts more pressure on your shoulders. So it's, it hits different muscle, it hits your muscles differently. So the idea that if you have a weaker side, you want to widen that grip to make it stronger is a fallacy. If you want to make your normal grip bench press stronger in that one side, then you continue to train bench press regularly and work on maintaining the same tempo on both sides. Now, right. That might mean that you do tempo bench press where you do counts down to your chest and counts back up so that you can maintain them evenly. Same thing can happen with a squat. You can have a super wide stance in your squat. You can have a super narrow stance in your squat. Though both of those things are going to have, you're going to have to give up something, whether it's back extension or proper depth. When you have a really wide stance, the extensibility of your adductors, which means like the distance they can stretch in your hamstrings, they'll reach their like optimal stretch sooner, which makes you feel like you're at depth when you're not. And then a super narrow stance means you're going to have to give up your low back extension or the tension between your hamstrings and your erectors. So there's a loss somewhere in there, but both of those stances have you can train them
right,
but like if you train one foot in your normal stance and one foot way out, like a Cossack squat, but a Cossack squat you're shifting from side to side, but you have a weight on your back, like that's going to make that one weak leg stronger? No, it's just going to make your strong leg stronger because right. all of the load is on that leg, and it's going to make that one other leg weird as fuck.
Yeah, like I saw somebody post something about the benefits of a staggered stance squat. And staggering, like almost like a wrestler's stagger, like when you're getting ready to do like a takedown.
And that's
when I was like, what are you doing?
That's when you get into people trying to mimic their sport in strength.
No.
And you practice your sport. I think we've talked about this in the past. Mm-hmm. You practice your sport. You practice your sport like you're going to play it. So you don't add a weighted ball. You don't add a weighted bat.
Right.
You don't add... You know, you don't do jumping squats all the way because that's going to make you a better jumper. It changes your mechanics completely.
Yeah.
It's not the same. So you train for strength because strength is a overall adaptation that benefits multiple regions, multiple areas, mm-hmm. balance, accuracy, power, you name it, it benefits it. So if you want to be a better wrestler, practice your wrestling
right.
and get stronger.
Yeah.
Because then you're harder to move around.
Yeah.
Your balance is better. Your base is stronger. That's the same thing with jujitsu. If you want to have a strong base, be strong.
Yeah, just be strong. Yeah.
That's an attribute that a lot of times people can be like, oh, that's an attribute. You shouldn't use it. But the thing is, and I talked about this with ladies because I was just at the ladies camp.
Oh, in Idaho, yeah.
In Idaho last weekend, which was really fun, by the way. If you think about it, ladies, you should go. But a man who weighs the same amount as me, like the same amount as me, will significantly outlift me because he's male.
Right.
And if I roll...
If he puts the work in.
Well, yeah. Usually. It's pretty rare. I mean, if he trains at all.
Well, that's what I mean.
It would take somebody completely untrained a couple of months to reach my numbers because they're male.
I don't think so.
No, it would. It does. It happens all the time. And that's the benefit of testosterone.
No, I agree with you. Like a male is going to lift more than you in general. Like if they train.
It would only take a couple months. If they did it.
I guess it would depend on the individual.
Nah, if they did it. I mean, it depends on how old they are. But if they do a dedicated LP, they'll reach my numbers 2 to 3 months. Hmm. No problem.
Maybe.
Because, no, it's happened over and over and over and over again. Okay. I have a client who's in his 60s.
Yeah.
Who weighs less than I do.
Sure.
Who lifts the same as I do.
Right.
That right there.
Yeah.
I'm in my late 30s.
Sure.
And I've been dedicated training for 7 solid years, kind of training. Beyond that, a decade more on top of that.
Sure.
So putting all that aside, what were we talking about? Asymmetrical training. If you're trying to mimic something that you're doing in your sport, it's not going to make you better at that thing in your sport.
Right.
Get stronger. We're talking about base. Okay. So I was talking about a guy, my weight, who trains at all, is going to be stronger than me.
Right. You were comparing it to you just gone to the women's camp and you're training with a bunch of women.
So
right.
Strength is an attribute. And no matter how good I am at jujitsu, at some point, I mean, I'm so good at jujitsu. Someday I'll be really good at it because I'm going to keep doing it because I'm going to dedicate all my time that I have to it, just like I do to strength training. But there comes a point where that physical shield is, that physical threshold is reached. And if I am rolling, say I become a purple belt and I'm rolling with another purple belt who weighs the same as me, that's a guy, they're going to be able to beat me based on their attributes. If we're both equally skilled in jiu-jitsu,
right,
that attribute is going to be in his favor for the most part.
I see what you're saying.
So putting that aside, asymmetrical training is a silly thing. And there's another one that I've heard is that doing a specific kind of deadlift is beneficial for jiu-jitsu fighters, particularly sumo. Is more beneficial for jiu-jitsu fighters than conventional deadlift. And there is really no physiological or physical reason for that to be accurate or true.
Yeah, there's no science behind that at all.
No, none.
Yeah, because the only point of, for the most part, of lifting sumo is that shortened range of motion for a competition.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like super wide bench press.
Yeah.
Sumo was developed to game the powerlifting system.
Right.
Because it's a shorter distance. So moving your legs out.
Yeah.
Farther and farther out to the point where you can lift weights instead of just being in the splits or whatever. That happens all the time. As long as your feet don't touch the plates.
Yeah.
You can have your feet as wide as you possibly can. Now, you train that. So you're going to be really, really strong in that position.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean it's better for jiu-jitsu fighters. There's no sport where that particular movement is better for you except for powerlifting because it's a powerlifting specific adaptation of that movement. Now,
and if you're training your full body, like range of motion, everything else too, you want to train the longest range of motion to hit everything.
The longest effective range of motion.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Because people will be like, well, the longest range of motion in a squat is astrograss.
Yeah. No.
But what happens in an astrograss squat is you lose muscular tension, therefore you're recruiting less muscle mass. So here are when I program for people and when I give work to people, no matter what their special, what they specialize in, it's the most amount of muscle mass used. Well, the whole goal is to A, get stronger. So we're going to do the movements, a compound movement that is loadable across the whole system.
Right.
The most amount of muscle mass used over the longest effective range of motion to get stronger. So the goal is to get stronger. That is our goal. Now, if you want to have an aesthetic goal on top of that, I can absolutely work with that. I do it all the time. But you want to get stronger, so you want to use as much of your body as possible in the longest effective range of motion. And a sumo deadlift is not the longest effective range of motion.
Sure.
So therefore, it is, you train it because you're going to compete in it. It's not something that you should use unless you're a power lifter. Like, you can, but whatever you train, you're going to be strongest. And if you don't ever train conventional, then you're not going to be stronger in it. Mm-hmm. However, as somebody who has made my main deadlift variant a conventional deadlift, my sumo is way stronger because my conventional is stronger. And my coach, mm-hmm. she does sumo because she has a torn labrum in her hip.
Yeah.
And it's less painful for her. But her conventional is also really strong, not as strong as her sumo because she trains her sumo, but it's also really strong because she's trained her whole body over time.
Yeah.
Now, the conventional deadlift uses more muscle mass over the longest effective range of motion, and you're going to be able to lift more weight doing that. Yeah. So therefore, you're going to get overall stronger doing that thing. The strength athlete that has a significant weakness on one side, that's not structural, meaning it's like there's not a tear there, there's not an injury there, there's not like a history of something.
Yeah.
There are exercises you can do to build up strength in that one arm or one leg or one side of your body, but you don't do it in a vacuum where it's just that one side. You still will do the same thing to the other side. So say you decide to do a single arm, like a dumbbell curl on that one side because your bicep is weaker. You don't just do dumbbell curls on the one side. You do it on the other too. But you use the weight that the weaker arm can maintain.
Right.
Because the strong arm is already strong and you're going to keep bench pressing, or you're going to keep curling, or you're going to keep squatting or the strong leg or whatever. You don't just do a hamstring curl on the weak leg. You do it on both of your legs because the whole goal is to make them as equal as possible. But you of course would adjust the side to the side that is your weaker side. You can do that with your bench press and your squat too. If there's enough of a difference, you can find the weight that you can maintain a balanced or an even bar with on the weaker side. And that's what you train. And you train it, you do a gradual progression to add weight to gradually strengthen that one side in concordance with the other. So the idea that you need to isolate the one weaker side or move the grip out, which is completely different mechanics than a normal grip, or move the foot out because it's completely different mechanics than the normal stance, that is outside the norm. So it's training different. It's training those muscle groups differently than it would in your normal bar path. So
And part of it too is also you have to. Some people actually don't think about like on the weaker side. Like, take bench press because that's where you're going to notice it. Squat, mm-hmm. you're not going to see it much. Like, you know, unless like you see somebody's hip just buckle. You're not really seeing.
There's usually a pathology there.
Right. But what I'm saying is, so like on a bench press or an overhead press, mm-hmm. and you see one arm accelerating faster than the other one, right? And then they go, oh, that's my weak side. A lot of times what happens is, like what you said earlier, if they're right-handed, and that means they're more apt to use a right hand, they're more, you know, they're stronger on the right side. Mm-hmm. You don't think about when you go to pick up your phone, mm-hmm. you, even if it's on the left side, you will reach across naturally with your right hand, whatever your dominant hand is.
Right.
Right. Exactly. So like people watching here, I'm going to do this less than this. Right. Okay. It's just natural. Okay. So you actually have to tell yourself, like you have to give yourself a command when you're pressing. Like I'll tell clients, like, hey, you actually have to think about driving with that arm. You know, you have to think about using that arm more. Like, you have to really engage, like, that mind-muscle connection we talk about, right? It's not so much a massive, like, placebo, but it does exist. And when you do say it, and then people go back and do it again, like, oh, I actually wouldn't even think about that. Because the bar is connected to both hands, so they just assume both are going to go up at the same time when they press. And then you realize, like, oh, it's not. So.
Well, and the other thing, too, is when somebody starts out, it might be more noticeable, but as the whole system strengthens together.
Yeah.
Those things will become less and less. Mm-hmm. If somebody's like a veteran lifter and it pops up, there's a pathology there. There's something like for me, my left side, I injured playing water polo in high school. Mm-hmm. And I've never had an MRI because we were poor as church mice and didn't have insurance. So it was like, what's the point? I just kept working through it.
Sure.
Swimming in college, same thing. And every once in a while it would pop out. Not so much dislocate, but like feel weird and like not connected, right?
Right.
strength training has largely like made that go away.
Yeah.
Now, every once in a while, if I'm really, really fatigued, my body's really tired, like I've been rolling a bunch and I haven't been sleeping very well and I've been training a lot, my left side will just decide not to work.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm going to tell my left side to work. I was attempting 129 and a half overhead press single a couple weeks ago, actually a week and a half ago, didn't move. Yeah. But 129 moved.
Right.
Not quickly, but it moved, right? And sometimes that happens. But I'm not going to be like, oh, I need to strengthen my left side because my right side is stronger, more dominant. I'm just going to keep working those movements, that bilateral movement, to get everything working together. And that's what happens, is if you're aware of those things, you can adjust. So if you shift into one side of your body, you have to actively think about maintaining the bar path right down the middle. Like there are things you have to think about, but you're not going to change your mechanics in that you don't move your stance. You don't move the bar over one side heavier than the other because that's going to make that side stronger. That's not how that works. Your body is a unit. It's a complete, you know, it's a complete set, right? And you just have to continue to get stronger and everything will eventually get pretty close. And that's not to say at a heavy press, I might shift a little bit into my one side or the other, but they still move. And as long as it's moving up and not, you know, ratcheting up, it still moves and they're still stronger. I'm still stronger across my whole system than I was when I started.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
So to wrap up, don't train like an asshole. Freedom rocks. And talk about sex in front of your kids, but don't have sex
in front of your kids.
That is our episode wrap in 10 seconds. That's a new segment. That's how we're going to end up every show.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's good.
Yeah, that was good. We've
got three solid ones out there.
Thanks for listening, y'all.
Yeah.
Send us questions. Yeah. If you have questions, find me on Instagram as AM_strength. You can message me there. Send questions to Cornerstone of America there.
Instagram or Facebook.
Instagram. I am not on Facebook. My Instagram is connected to my Facebook, but I tend not to be on there. So Instagram is the best way to get a hold of me. But yeah, ask any questions you have that relate to anything that I'm involved in, whether it's my baby jiu-jitsu skills or training, which I have a lot more skill in.
Our perfect relationship.
Relationships. I roll on that one. Baking, cooking, whatever it is. I have little things that I like to do. So ask any question you want to ask.
And if you guys are enjoying this show or the podcast in general overall, as you can see, I'm not filming this in the corner attic of our bedroom anymore. Invested some time and money into building out the studio space, just like we do with the gym. So please like, comment, share, tell your friends, let anybody know, and give feedback. I am very open to feedback. You know, this is new for me too, even though
No, I'm just kidding. You can send me feedback too.
Don't talk to Anna Marie.
No, you can send me feedback. It's fine.
Yeah. And if there's anything you guys want to hear, or us talk about or address, let us know.